Ladies and gentlemen, this is my honor to introduce
Principles of Passion. Principles of Passion. Chris Thomas.
Great moments are born from great opportunity.
I followed my passion.
I have a dream.
And Dominic Cimino.
You better come to work.
This is it.
Perfection.
With special guest Adam Ortiz, son, brother, life coach, and technology staffing consultant.
Find that thing you love. If you can find that thing that really gives you joy, that'll be it.
That company you keep is crucial, is critical, because that group, or those groups, are the ones that are going to influence your behavior the most.
Are you ready?
It's Principles of Passion.
Come on, sucker. Let's get it on.
All right, all right. Thank y'all. Thank y'all for joining us. This is episode 23, Principles of Passion. We have my man, Adam Ortiz, on. Thank you so much, bro.
Thanks for having me. Great to be here.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. This week, we're going to be talking about gratitude and even more importantly, the why behind that gratitude, because I think people struggle being gracious for things and being happy because they don't know that why. And Adam has a pretty powerful story. He actually just finished the Tony Robbins mentoring and coaching curriculum. What was it, a certification, or tell us more?
Yeah, it was 12 months long, strenuous training, and a lot of tears of happiness and a lot of learning about yourself. So I'm excited to share a little bit about that with you guys here today.
Awesome, man. And in regards to that, you've had to really overcome some struggles in your life, but still maintain that ability to just always come with a positive spirit to the table and help other people do that too. Do you mind telling us? I know it's kind of personal, but you mind telling us a little bit about your story, man?
Yeah, absolutely. And the one thing that, you know, Chris and I have talked many times, we actually used to work together. And, you know, one of the things that we talk about is how pain is pain, right? So while I'm going to share my story with you, and I have a certain level of pain that I've been through, you know, I think a certain part of society grasps onto this thing where it's like, you know, I've been through this and nobody else can relate, you know. But while somebody may not have the same exact story as me, I'm sure you've been through something in your life. If you've been on earth more than probably 12 years, you've been through something, which means you probably experienced pain. So we can relate a lot more than you think, because at the end of the day, pain is pain. So I'll share a little bit about my story and how I got into a life of feeling grateful, because it wasn't always this way. I haven't always been like this, I promise you. I've known Chris maybe for, what, 3-4 years now? So you've seen the good side of me, but trust me, before that, it was a lot of building and a lot of, like, figuring myself out and a lot of work before I got to this place, which I'm very happy to share, you know, with people now, because it's really exciting to live. I don't think I've had a bad day in, like, a year. You know, and honestly, I've had bad things happen to me, don't get me wrong, but in terms of like having a bad day where I was like upset about something, and it really weighed me down for an entire 24 hours, that just doesn't happen.
Right.
So, I guess starting from the top, you know, my parents were divorced when I was 5 years old. So a lot of 50% of Americans go through that experience. And, 2 years after that, my mother was dating someone, and on Valentine's Day, they pulled over at the side of the road to help somebody. He got out of the car and was hit by a drunk driver. He died on the spot. So that was a tough thing to go through. She then met my future stepfather. They got married when I was in about eighth grade. And by the time I was 18 years old in high school, he died of a heart attack when he was 41. And then 2 years after that, I lost my stepsister to suicide. And that's the big one. You know, I mean, like, all those are losses in their own way. All those, you experience pain. But the suicide piece was very hard for my family and I. She was only 13 years old at the time. I'm the oldest of four in my family. And, you know, we had a couple kids in high school that committed suicide. And, you know, you hear about it, but you don't really see how it affects your household on a day-to-day basis. I mean, our family was so destroyed that our neighbors were bringing, they brought a spare refrigerator over to put in the garage because we weren't even, like, feeding ourselves. Like, you almost forget, like, how to even take care of yourself as a human because of the loss of just having, you know, this peace in your home, and you're trying to figure out why did she do that, you know? And there's a lot of questions that you have with that, because like the person who did that isn't there to answer that anymore, you know? So you're just like digging and trying to figure everything out. I have a now he's 18 year old brother, but at the time he was seven. So also having to deal with the questions that he has, you know, like, when am I going to see her again? Where did she go? And it was very difficult. So trust me, I was screwed up for a very long time after that. And hence why I you know, came to the realization that I have to make a decision. I could either let this take over my life or I could take it over and make something positive out of that. So, you know, I've spoken in front of many schools since then and have helped some people out with, you know, problems that they're going through because they feel like people can't relate. But I think a big part of that is creating dialogue and making sure that people are comfortable, you know, talking about what they've been through in their life. So,
yeah. Thank you, man. Yeah. Thank you very much for sharing that. You know, I'm sure there's a lot of people out there that have experienced loss, and that's tough. And to have done it three times, man, with close people, you know, I commend you for keeping the positive spirit that you do.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you, man. Dom is out today. He's busting his butt at work, working extra. So I just wanted to take note. We appreciate you, Dom. We will. We actually have a week off next week, but we will see you the following week. Let me ask you. For you, what defines gratitude for you?
Sure. So I actually think, you know, and I have this debate or discussion, if you want to call it that, with a lot of my friends, but I think that you can have one of two. I try to simplify things because as humans, we overcomplicate things all the time. Huh. But I think you could really have like a mindset in one of two ways. I think you can either live a life of entitlement or a life of gratitude. I don't think you could really, you could have like a mixture of both, but I think at the end of the day, like your heart and your core comes from one of those two things. And, you know, I think when people start feeling bad for themselves, a lot of that is, or, you know, about like where they're at in their life, a lot of that comes from like a sense of entitlement. And I think a lot of that is created by the society that we live in. You know, a lot of people think that they deserve to have a great job or they deserve to be in a great relationship or they deserve X. But my, you know, thinking is, and I try to think of everything from every angle. If you think that you deserve to be happy and have a great job and, you know, a relationship, then explain to me why a child deserves to be born with cancer. Right. Can you explain that? You know what I mean? And when you start thinking about that and like, you know, I'm healthy, I'm able to walk around. I was, you know, given God-given ability to be able to speak with people and, you know, transport around. I'm not handicapped. What is there not to be grateful for? You know what I'm saying? When you actually like think about things that you're able to do that other people can't do. You know, there are children that a child that is born with cancer is in a hospital every single day battling for their life. Why do I feel bad that I am not in a relationship?
Right.
Or that I don't have a job that makes me happy every day. You know what I mean? Like when you really like simplify it to those things, you realize like how big of a brat you're being, I guess. So, you know, to put it lightly.
Yeah.
But
For sure.
You know, so when people start I have a great apartment, I love it, but like people have come over and they're like, man, you deserve this. And I'm like, don't say that to me. Like, I don't deserve anything. Yeah. I don't think that any human deserves anything. There's nothing that, you know, we're both born with the same abilities. There's no reason that I deserve a great place and you don't. You know what I mean? Like, if I think that when you operate out of gratitude, though, you just see things a little bit differently. Yeah. You know, like every day is a bonus day,
yeah,
basically. For sure. Nothing in life is guaranteed.
Yeah. There's a good quote by Brené, I maybe pronounce Brené Brown. He's a motivational speaker. He says, what separates privilege from entitlement is gratitude. And I think that's so powerful to really think about. There's a lot of people that are walking around privileged that are even walking around entitled, you know, and I think it's important that we just walk around and we try and help others, you know, and look at it as a synergistic society.
Yeah.
More than, hey, it's just in it for me, because you affect other people. You speak with other people. You interact with other people. And for those of you that aren't big into energy, there is energy out there as you meet people and connect with them. And you want that to be more positive than negative.
Yeah.
So for sure. Why do you think folks have such a hard time being, you know, showing that gratitude?
I think we just live in a competitive society. You know, we're like, people are always, you're trying to compare with other, your life with other people. I mean, just think about what, you know, Facebook has done and Instagram has done and like all the things about liking thing, you know, it's just like this level of comparison where it's like hard for people to just be happy for other people, you know, but honestly, like the happier that I am for my people that are my friends that are successful, the happier it makes me, you know, and the more that I can help my friends, the happier I feel about myself.
Yeah.
Have you ever helped somebody with something and then felt like crap afterwards?
Never.
Exactly. No. Right.
Unless so I was like sore from my, I'm not moving your place again, Val.
That's true. That could happen. But like, I still have yet to find somebody that has helped somebody with something and feels bad about themselves, you know? So it's just easier for me to carry on that kind of an attitude versus like be competitive with them and not happy for them, where that just like brings you down. You know what I mean? And honestly, like, you know, at the end of the day, my goal is to show up with a level 10 attitude and mentality, you know?
Now, do you think, like, is that something everyone has? Is that a learned behavior?
I think it's a learned behavior, but it's like one of those things. It's like, there's a quote, knowledge is power.
Yeah.
But I think that's part of the truth. I think the actual power is taking action. It's not just having the knowledge, it's taking action from there.
Yeah.
You know, like, I love sports. Like, let's think of LeBron James, right? So, like, here's a guy where if you walk up to him on the street and you're like, hey, we're about to play hoops, are you ready to play? Like, what's your level, like, 1 to 10? Are you ready? And he'd probably be like, well, I'm at, like, a 6 right now because I haven't, you know, gone through my pregame warm-ups. I haven't stretched out. And then if you're like, well, Kobe Bryant's around the corner, he's about to show up, what level do you need to be at to beat Kobe? He'd be like, I need to be at a 12 out of 10 because that's the most competitive dude. Yeah. Like, I need to make sure I'm there. Like, the athletes train themselves to be in a mental state where they could perform like that. Even though we're not on a huge stage in front of people, what makes us different? You know, if I show up to work with a level 4 attitude, what does my day look like? How productive am I to be? How are my calls going to be? What are my conversations going to be like versus if I'm at a level 10 where I'm sharp, I'm on, the quality of work is way better.
Yeah, yeah. And every day is not going to be a level 10. And I think some people get scared of that because they miss a day that's a level 10, they get a 6, and then they get just out of it. And
true.
They lose the momentum,
well,
you know?
And here's what I'll say about that. To encourage you, your abilities don't change. So like, if you have a good day on Monday and you have a bad day on Tuesday, were your abilities different from Monday to Tuesday? Like, your abilities are actually the same. And when you realize that, you understand that your mentality is the only difference. Because your abilities haven't changed at all.
Right.
So if you can just switch the mentality, and you have to trick your brain, right? Because we're not always going to be a 10 all the time, like you said. But what could we do? What kind of things can we do to make ourselves feel better? You know, like, what does, like, sadness or depression look like? It's like somebody's slouched over. Like, what are my calls like if I'm, like, slouched over and I'm, like, down in the dumps? If you feel like crap, stand up, stare at the ceiling and smile, and then try to feel like crap.
Yeah.
That's another thing that, like, that will work. You know, you just, like, look up and stare. You look stupid, and people are wondering, like, what you're doing. But I promise you, you'll get out of it a little bit faster, you know? So, like, just work on things that will help you get into the place that you need to get into. But a lot of that is recognition. You know, if you're realizing you're not having a great day, you have the power to turn it around.
For sure. For sure. Let me ask you this. Have you ever had one of those friends that just tries to help everyone and do something for everyone and be thankful for everything, and it's almost overkill?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Honestly, I think that I'm one of them sometimes.
Oh, you are not. You are not.
Well,
that, bro.
I feel like it sometimes, though. You know, like, I don't know what it's like to be around me because I am myself, but I've always seen myself as being nice in doses. You know, like, I there's none of my friends are like, hey, we need to hang out like every single day, you know, because I could be a little bit overbearing and I want to help people, but at the same time, like, I see it, you can tell if somebody's genuine in that or not, you know? So it's not just the action, but I think this is where, you know, the why comes into play.
Yeah.
Like, 80% of our communication is body language, right? So if somebody's like offering themselves, but they're not like excited about it genuinely and you can sense that, then that's a problem. But if somebody's just genuinely excited and I would love to be around that person every single day.
Awesome.
Yeah,
that's
for sure.
Awesome, man. So just to recap, last week we talked about transformation. We had an excellent guest, Yemi An, who's the Director of Inclusion and Diversity over at the OCC. Great, great conversation. If you didn't get a chance, definitely tune back into that. One of our small wins this week for our organization, we launched the website today. So finally, 3 months, please check us out. Your Passion First, yourpassion1st.com. A lot of things brewing. We are praying and hoping and wishing to do this first workshop in either October or November, and we're still shooting for next June for our first festival. So full speed ahead. Thank you just to everyone. supporters, everyone that's helping, everyone that has helped, everyone that will help in the future. We're looking for volunteers. Again, though, Your Passion, the number one ST, is the website. So please tune in. I want to ask the audience a question here, and then what I want to do is read an excerpt from a blog that that we came across when doing research for this episode. The question is, how does gratitude reduce materialism? I'll say it again. How does gratitude reduce materialism? And this blog is from happierhuman.com. It's called Benefits of Gratitude. The excerpt goes like this. Americans are inundated with materialistic role models every day. Materials flow from two sources generally, role models and insecurity. These come in the form of advertisements, which highlight materialistic themes, to celebrity culture, which glorifies the rich and frivolous, to business culture, in which we are told our dreams should be to be rich and powerful. Gratitude helps by reducing our tendency to compare ourselves to those with a higher social status. Those who are insecure, that is, those that have not had their basic psychological needs met, i.e., those who lack confidence, those who come from a poor background, or who have unsupportive parents. Those folks are more likely to be materialistic. Gratitude is an effective strategy for reducing insecurity. A grateful emotion is triggered when we perceive an act of benevolence directed towards us. Those who are dispositionally ungrateful are therefore less likely to perceive acts of benevolence, even if they are surrounded by a loving environment. Flipped around, those who cultivate an attitude of gratitude are more likely to perceive an environment of benevolence, which in turn causes their brains to assume they are in an environment full of social support, which in turn kills insecurity and materialism. I know it was a lot. I know you may need to pause and go back through it. Please, 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 I implore you to do that. While you're doing that, Adam, I mean, that's a powerful excerpt, man. What do you think about that?
It's a lot.
It is.
It makes me think, though, you know, because you're covering so much, but like, again, like simplifying everything. I think at the end of the day, there's human needs that we all have, and when you're not hitting those needs, things fall backwards, right? So I was kind of writing down some things as you were reading. So like I was thinking about what the basic human needs are. So like what is important to have hit on as a need of yours? And I think certainty. Everybody wants to feel certain. They want to feel significance in their life. They want to feel love and connection. They want to feel growth and learning, and they want to feel contribution. And I think that when you're feeling those things, it's easier actually to be grateful. But a lot of times, you know, we look at like outside sources or materialistic things to get that, but it's really just a temporary fix. You know, like I'm holding an iPhone 10XR right now. It's the newest phone. At first, I was so excited to get this thing. And after like a month, I forgot like how excited I was at the beginning. It becomes outdated. You know, it's basically like a temporary fix. It's right. Like a little Band-Aid over, I wouldn't say a problem because it's not like I had a problem, but it's like something that makes you feel good, but very temporarily.
Right, right.
You know, so, and I think a lot of things are like that. And think about like even, you know, I can't remember what I'm really big into documentaries. I think it was called Minimalism or The Minimalist on Netflix. I'm not sure if you've seen it or not.
I've heard, I think, Minimalist.
But yeah. A big part about it is how now even advertisements are going after, you know, children. And now there's children that are begging their parents for toys, and they're getting taken to the toy store, and it's the same thing. Like, how many toy rooms have you seen filled up with a bunch of crap that isn't used after a week or two because it's just like they want the next best thing, you know? So, and I think that the more you get sucked into that, the harder it is to be grateful for what you already have and the things that are actually important in terms of, like, what our needs are. Because out of all the needs that I spoke about, you actually don't need a single materialistic thing. You don't need a materialistic thing to feel, you know, certain or significance or loving connection. You don't need a single object for any of those things.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's great, man. One thing I see, too, is there's a sense of immediacy that a lot of folks, like immediate gratification, that a lot of people struggle with, and that gaining short-term wins. I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing if you have a long-term goal to, right, to really, for lack of better words, enjoy those wins, right? But if you don't have a long-term plan, I think it makes it hard. And I think the bigger thing with the plan is really digging into the kind of the why of what you're trying to do. Mm-hmm. So we'll get into that. I want to play a little game. We haven't done this before in this season. I feel like we did it once last season. We're going to do a little word association game. I'm going to throw some things at Adam, and I just want to hear what he says. I may throw in some things after, but just to kind of see how he thinks. He's not going to know what I'm going to say, so we're going to get the true live uncut Adam. And all of these things are surrounding benefits of gratitude. Obviously, we want to go into the why behind that after this, but I think this will be good to sum it all up. In this map, it breaks it up into emotional, personality, social, health, and career in terms of the circle that makes up our happiness. And so all of these are the benefits of that. First one, more resilient. What comes to your mind when I say
with resilience?
Yeah,
it's just like the it's will. At the end of the day, resilience is will.
Yeah, yeah. And do you think that is learned?
Yeah, I actually think it's a part of how we're naturally built. You know, like we all have a will. We all get excited about something. You know, I think there's always something important to everybody too. You know, so and I think that. Even what you were just talking about, like knowing what your outcome is extremely important, because without knowing what your outcome is, how are you going to have a will to get there?
Yeah, yeah, for sure. I got a tattoo, and actually I have to give credit to a good friend of mine, William Robles, because he had posted this one day. But one of my tattoos says, born to lose, built to win. And we are born ready to die without the right support. Right, without an umbilical cord, without someone to start feeding us, we're pretty much set up for failure. I think when I look at resiliency and looking at the people around you, I really try and look at, A, use your support system and be kind to them. But at the end of the day, you are the one person, when you are able and willing, that's going to support you through and through. And I think a lot of people use excuses instead of digging in to really themselves, and like, you're the cause of it. You have the control over it.
Yeah, and we've all done that.
We all probably all still will do it again at some point. You know, I think being conscious of the fact that you do it, and doing it less, and getting to a point where you never have to do it.
Yeah,
you
know, for sure.
That's it for sure.
Yeah, that actually reminds me of a conversation I was having at one of my previous jobs, where I was like fed up with kind of how my boss was like not performing or doing anything, I felt like. So I went to the trainer and I was explaining this to them. And when I was done, they're like, do you feel better? And I was like, a little bit. And then they're like, well, you realize that you're responsible for your actions and none of theirs, right? And I was like, damn, I just wasted all of our time right now, like talking about nothing, you know? Like, if it's, again, it's easy to blame or point direction at somebody else, but at the end of the day, we're responsible for ourselves. So I love that.
For sure.
Couldn't agree more.
Improved networking, especially for, this is under the career piece, and I think when I speak of our original 10 principles of passion, you know, I think it's 90%, I forget the stat, but some percentage of jobs are gained through networking.
Mm-hmm.
Most jobs are gained through networking. So what comes to mind when you think about that?
I think effort just comes, that's just the effort thing for me. Yeah. You know, I mean, I think our networks are only as big or as small as our effort is, you know, because and it's the same thing as like networking and dating are always two things that like come to mind for me. Because, you know, like there's a lot of girls I know that are upset that they're single, but they don't go out ever.
Yeah.
You know, it's like they stay at home and it's like, well, you're not going to find a boyfriend by them breaking into your house. Like, that's probably not what's going to happen, right. You know? So it's like, in order for you to get a boyfriend, you actually have to go out and probably meet somebody or do something. And the same thing with networking, right? Yeah. Like if you can network, and now I understand, like, we live in a digital age where maybe you can do some of that online, but honestly, at the end of the day, a lot of it is going out and meeting people. You and I have met a ton of people by networking and been involved in some great organizations and met, man, tons of people from doing that. So I would say a lot of it just comes down to effort at the end of the day.
Yeah, for sure. And I think some people, for lack of better words, are scared, right, when you're going out to meet new people. What to say to them? I think, though, if you are in a space where you are passionate, then you have nothing to lose. You know, it's better to go and try and walk up to someone. But again, a big part of this podcast and the organization as a whole, some people struggle with that passion. So they don't even know what network or what circle to be in. Mm-hmm. So that's the hopes, is that we can kind of help them, connect them to more of those circles.
Yeah. I mean, the thing that I would say to that is, like, if you get invited to a networking event, say yes. You know, like, you're never going to know unless you actually try it out and go there. And the worst thing that could happen is you go home and you haven't met a single person, but you were just going to go home anyway and not meet a single person. Yeah. So you're going to end up in the same spot you were in anyway. Yeah. So just say yes to the invite, go out. I promise you, you'll probably meet somebody that's great, and you could get the ball rolling with it. But you got to see what it feels like and dip your toe in a little bit first.
Yeah, yeah. I consider myself spiritual. I was born and raised Catholic. We could go off on a whole tangent about that. But when you think of spirituality and being more spiritual, what comes to mind with you there?
Yeah, well, when I think of spirituality or religion at all, I think, you know, in the same way I was talking about earlier, where we get in this, like, combative thing about, like, who believes what that's right. And I will never argue with, you know, people say don't talk about, like, religion or certain things. Like, I don't mind talking about it, but don't put down anybody's beliefs. Like, I think that is the number one mistake you can make. It doesn't put you in any kind of advantage. It tarnishes your relationship with them for no reason. You know, if somebody finds something that works for them, support that, you know, and the same thing for you. If there's something that works for you, I fully support that and just stick with it. But I hate that there is a negative connotation out there about it when there's no reason that there needs to be at all.
You know, in my wholehearted opinion, and I've said this before, I think that every religion has a basis of goodness.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if people would just use that as their moral compass, as opposed to who defined their goodness, mm-hmm. I think we could live a little bit more amicably.
I agree.
For sure.
Yeah.
For sure. All right, that's the end of our word association game. Thank you, bro.
Yeah.
So let's dive in a little more to the why. I think that your how, which are your actions, and your what, which are your results, have to be consistent with your why, which are your beliefs. So what's meant by clarity of why, or how can you clarify that term?
Okay, so for me to find my why, I guess, I started thinking about, and this is actually something that Tony Robbins talked about, which really hit home for me, especially with my sister's story that I shared with you earlier, but he actually talked about famous people and he threw out some names. So he's like, what does Elvis Presley, Marilyn Monroe, John Belushi, and Robin Williams all have in common? And then he just left it open-ended, and I'm starting to think, because they're all successful, they're all entertainers, but, you know, none of them are with us anymore. And then I start thinking, well, why aren't any of them with us? And the answer to that is because they couldn't control their mental state. Mm. Would you agree with that? Right? Yeah. Like, they relied on drugs or alcohol or something else to try to boost up their mental state because they just couldn't get there on their own. So they, like, looked for that. So why is it important to me? Because I think that your life depends on it. Literally. Like, that's my belief. So my mentality needs to be good is because I don't want to go out like they did.
Yeah.
And I love the heck out of all of them. I'll do an Elvis impersonation. Robin Williams is, like, the genie is the best Disney character of all time.
Yeah.
You know, but, like, these are all successful people that seemingly, they looked like they had everything, but, like, what was their why? You know, like, I don't think that they knew. And I think that's why they were looking for outside sources to like figure it out or fill the void. And in looking at that, I realized like I don't want my mentality to cost me my life.
Yeah, that's a great perspective, man, and a great way to look at it. There's a quote by Simon Sinek. It says, people don't buy what you do, they buy why you do it. And I think that that's so powerful when obviously looking at business, but when looking at you as a person. I have struggled with this because in the way that I come off, I think my why has gotten a little convoluted by my what.
Sure.
You and I have talked about this a lot, but I think it's important that they are all consistent, you know, and that's, I think it's a life learning lesson for everyone to try and stay that course. But it's so huge.
And that's actually something that I wish that like workplaces would be more involved in is the why themselves, right? Because like how many jobs do we have where we have an annual review? Where like you talk one time about your goals and what your numbers need to be or what you want to do, but and you have like all these bullet points and then the next year they're like, well, which one of these bullet points did you hit? And what are you going to do next year? But very rarely do they get into the why is that important. And I hate that, you know, and I've tried, you've been in meetings with me where I'm like, we need to talk about the why right now. Like, find out why this person on this team needs to do this.
Right.
And it would actually create a great work environment too, right? Because if our boss understands, I need to hit this goal because I want to propose to my girlfriend. Yeah. Like, that is a huge thing for you to know on a personal level. Now you know what makes that person tick. Like, I need to make X amount of money so I could buy a ring for this girl that's important to me. Like, that's awesome for your boss to know probably, but it's so surface level done that it's like counterproductive almost. It's like we're doing it because we have to as this process, whereas it could actually be a great thing if we attacked it in the right way.
Right. And that's part of the how, right? The values and the principles. They kind of guide your actions and decisions on a day-to-day basis.
Absolutely, because if your why is really important, the how you're going to do it becomes that much stronger, right? Like, if you could say, well, I want to buy $1 million home. Well, if you don't have that, you still have a roof over your head. Like, it's probably not that bad.
Right.
But if you fall short of getting the money that you want to get your girl a ring, now you might be in a little bit of trouble, you know? So it's like how you're going to get there is a little bit more important.
Right, the founding principles.
Yeah.
Tell me what's meant by kind of the consistency of the what as well, as we kind of dive into all three of these.
Yeah, I think, the what is just the action, right? It's just like, what are we doing in the action that we're taking? But a lot of the actions that we're done is like because of our belief system. Like every single thing that we do in life is basically based off of two things, either because we love doing it, we love the pleasure of it, or we're scared of the pain that we're going to receive for not doing it. Think of every single thing in life that you do. Like, why do you go to work? You either love what you do, or you're very scared that you're going to lose your home if you don't have income coming in.
Yeah.
What is the reason that you stop at a red light? You either don't want to get it, you're scared to get a ticket, or you don't, like, there's no pleasure in getting into a car accident.
Right.
Yeah. You know, so like, you can kind of simplify everything into one of those two things. So I think, you know, getting invited to a party, I would either have a really good time or I'm, you know, scared that I maybe won't meet the love of my life there or something, you know? So like, it kind of comes down to those two things. And I think, just try to gear towards doing everything out of pleasure and not because you're scared, you know, like if you're doing things because you're scared, basically like what we do determines our destiny, right? Like all it's the makeup of our decisions. So I would just say, you know, try to have a positive mindset and then always get pleasure out of what you're doing. There's a quote that's always made me laugh. It's like, if it requires a fake smile, I'm not going. And I think you should live by that. You know, if you have to like fake your way through it, don't do it. You know, don't do it out of fear, but do everything out of pleasure.
Yeah, for sure. And just to recap again, your how and your what. Right, your how being your actions, your what being your results, have to be consistent with your why and your beliefs. And if you don't figure that why out, what drives you, what makes you wake up in the morning and put a smile on your face outside of your family and friends, right? What are things that you could potentially monetize on or not, right, that just make you feel like you have goosebumps when you think about it. And I think if people can try and dig into that a little bit more, again, there's challenges people face, but we all do. So I think it's important to stay resilient, like we said earlier, and dig through those things. Friedrich Nietzsche said, "He who has a why to live for can bear almost any how." That's it right there, the why. How can we as people, and I think we all struggle with this, but how can we be better at identifying and expressing our why and then motivating those around us to kind of believe in what we believe, right? Or perform even more so to their potential. Maybe not what we believe, but get them to believe they have the capability we feel they do.
I think the main thing is defining everything in your life, right? Like define not just what is important to you, but why is it important to you? You know, like let's say, for example, like somebody's like, I want to be successful. Like that is what I want to do. Okay, well, first of all, let's define what does success mean for you, because success is an objective word. Right. If I ask, you know, you on the street, what does success mean to you? You could be like, well, I need to make $3 million a year. I need to have a great relationship with my girlfriend. I need to make sure that my son is completely happy. That's your definition. Now I could go to the person next on the street and be like, what does success mean to you? And he could say, well, success to me is making $30,000 a year. As long as I have a roof over my head and I'm above ground, I'm happy. Now, that guy's got a lot easier road to happiness than you have, because his definition is a little bit more realistic and it's not that crazy. So I think like defining what's important to you, but also making sure it's realistic, is extremely crucial. Because I think a lot of times too, we like set these high bars for ourselves that unnecessarily, you know, like there's no reason that we have to have this, 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 and this to be happy. We could easily be happy with just being above ground and making enough money to survive and have clothes on our bodies. Like, why is that not good enough?
Yeah.
You know? So I think defining, you know, not just what you want, but why you want it, and making sure that that is actually like, you know, it makes sense. Like yeah. It's something that's realistic. And if you don't have that, is there really a reason that you can't be happy? You know, I have a friend right now that's launching a product, and you know, with her boyfriend, and they're like my favorite couple ever. And I had lunch with her, and they're like just starting to get it off the ground. They just pitched their idea in front of an investment company. They got it shut down, and she's all bummed out about it. I'm like, this is like an idea of a product right now. It's not even like off the ground. Like, do you realize that you just spoke? You made the top 10 out of possibly getting invested for a product that doesn't even exist yet. Like, there's so much to be thankful for in that process that you're losing everything out of it.
Yeah.
Like, and then she's like, oh my gosh, you're like totally right. Like, I just need to like relax. This really is a huge thing for us. They were the only people that had a proof of concept that was being considered, and everybody else had an actual tangible product that they were presenting, you know? So it's like, everybody has goals. I understand that. We're all perfectionists in our own right, but make sure that you're kind of keeping, you know, there's no reason to like beat yourself up. There isn't, you know?
Yeah.
There just isn't.
And Dom's not here today, but he always says life in increments, you know, and I think really biting off little bit of chunks of life and really enjoying those small wins and enjoying the process. Because if you were set out to do something great, then you're not going to start it great. So you have to be okay with that uncomfortability of failure and push through it, you know? So,
yeah.
One thing that I'm finally at my ripe old age of almost 26, almost 40, is that I'm finally.
How good does this guy look for 40? Learning. By the way, that's nuts.
No, thank you, I appreciate it. What I'm finally getting good with is myself. You know, and all of this that we talked about today, if you can't dig deep and be happy with who you are as a person, none of this other stuff means anything. 100%. And that doesn't mean basing it off of what someone else is telling you to do or be, whether that be a parent or anything. I think you have to dig deep and dig through your situation, dig through the people that say they're your supporters, because if they were your supporters, you wouldn't need to dig through. They would be pushing you and helping you through. So you have to dig through, I think, that negativity to make sure that you're finding out really what makes you wake up in the morning, man. And, you know, that's not easy, man. Like I said, at the age of 40, I'm just now able to wake up invigorated with a drive and a sense of yearning for what I feel I was meant to do.
I love that you just brought this up too, because I think this is the most important thing in life, right? Is like you live and die with yourself. Like there's no one else that's guaranteed to be with you through any of it. That is guaranteed. You literally are in your body every single day. And, you know, if you think that you're ready to be in a relationship and you truly don't love yourself, that will come out. Like that will come out. It'll show to the other person, either with insecurities or things that you're feeling. How can you give something away that you don't have?
Yeah.
You can't. Like if you don't love yourself, how can you love somebody else? You literally can't do it.
Yeah.
Like how do you give away a car that you don't have? You can't. Like you can't give away something that you don't have yourself. So
one of my tats says, amongst the things you can give and still keep are your word, a smile, and a grateful heart.
I love that.
Yeah. And that's it. It just hit that on what you said, man. For sure.
Yeah. So, this is like the mental thing that we deal with every single day is we all make mistakes as humans. We make mistakes. We feel like crap about it, but take it for what it is. Don't live in the past anymore. Like if you live in the past or in the future, you're literally not living in the moment anymore. You're taking yourself out of the present. Don't do that. You're wasting time, you know? So like if you make a mistake, take some time to work on it, get over it. Don't make the same mistake again, but like, don't sit there and dwell on it. That's not going to get you anywhere.
Yeah.
But it's easy to do that, right? Because like we just beat ourselves up. Well, I shouldn't have done that. Why did I do that? And it's just like this cycle that you just keep repeating over and over in your head, but it's like taking you away from growing. Right. And all the best things in life grow. So
yeah, for sure.
Never stop.
For sure. I want to kind of finish this up with talking about a Gallup study that we did. A Gallup study that we researched. And they talk about some traits of top leaders. And I think it's important to look towards leadership sometimes and look towards mentors and people that have done it before and achieve that greatness to learn from them. You know, and there's so many outlets of podcasts and social media and this and that that you can learn from people on. But just to touch on one thing I thought was very important, being assertive. Top leaders are very assertive. They get shit done, right? What are things that you do? And I know we're going a little off topic from being gracious and showing that gratitude, but I think in folding all this up under the why that we're happy, there is that process in between of getting there. So what are things you do to kind of be more assertive to drive some of these outcomes we've been talking
about? I use role modeling, right? Because like if there's somebody that is able to get what they want, I want to know how they got what they want. I mean, if it works for them, the chances are it could probably work for me too. I mean, knowledge, I wrote down, knowledge isn't power. Knowledge is potential power.
Wow.
But you need the knowledge first in order to have the potential to create the power. But the only reason, the only way you could get the knowledge is like doing research, like, you know, podcasts, or I implore you to go on Netflix and just, I've been watching a bunch of documentaries on just like famous people, even if I don't have an interest in it. You know, like one of the cool ones I saw was Logic, actually. He's this rapper. Beast. I knew nothing about him, though. And beast. I watched this thing. I'm in tears, man. This guy wrote like the Suicide Hotline song. And I didn't even know that it was him that wrote that. And I was like, damn, this is not the time for this.
Yeah.
But man, like look up his childhood and what he went through in his life. And when he decided that he wasn't going to be stopped. Basically. And when you see what he has inside of him and how he was not willing to take no for an answer, you're like, well, why am I taking no for an answer? You know, like he was able to get what he wants by a certain formula. And if you look at any successful person, their documentary doesn't have the same story, but they have the same drive. They have a lot of the same mentality that I need to wake up every day. I need to be on, and I am not going to take no. I'm not going to be defeated. Right. You know that everybody has that will.
Yeah.
And I think learning that from successful people, that's like the one thing in common. I don't care if it's Logic or Tiger Woods or Donald Trump even. You know, I know we all hate on him all the time, but like there's one thing he's like, I'm going to be successful no matter what. I don't care how many no's that I get. It's just like everybody has that in common, which I think is really crazy, yeah, despite how different they all are.
Yeah, I think it's definitely one of those top traits.
Yeah,
for sure. What about the accountability piece? And I think that's another good one. But not just for you, creating a full culture of mm-hmm. that accountability. What would be some suggestions or things that you do to help create that?
So, I mean, I have a coach. So it's hard because your friends are always going to have your side, right? So if you like tell them something that you did, they'll be like, well, that's okay, and they'll support you. And sometimes you need somebody to kind of kick you in the face or like be like, no, like you're not doing this anymore. So find somebody that truly is objective. And a lot of us have friends like that too that will tell you, but sometimes they go overboard with that too, where they like beat you up a little bit too much and you're like, man, I don't feel any better. So I would encourage you to like find an objective person. Like literally you could have a friend that you like see as an accountability partner. Like you guys tell each other once a week what you've been through that week. And then the other thing too is I encourage you to create goals like almost weekly or bi-weekly, you know? So like these are the two things that I absolutely have to get done this week. That's what I do with my coach every single week. There's two, and I never used to be a goal oriented person. It was like once a year, like the corporate stuff.
Yeah.
But since I've had him, he's like, these are what two things do you want to get done this week? And if I don't have those two things done, I get chewed out a little bit.
Yeah.
But if I do, he pats me on the back. It feels great. Right. But I would say, you know, have somebody that you fully trust that isn't going to judge you, that's going to be objective with you, and that will remain consistent with you.
Yeah.
You know, like that every week or every 2 weeks, you can be sure that person will be on the other line and you can catch up with them. Because if you don't have that, you know, you could basically slack and do whatever. And
one of the hardest things in my life, man, that I've had to go through, has been starting this nonprofit and keeping a level of accountability. And when you're not paying someone for something, it's really, really hard, I think, to get folks to commit. What I've seen, though, and I could give a list of names right now. I'm going to say a couple because they've been instrumental in us getting where we are. Ernie Skatton, thank you. Thank you very much. Vera McDonald, my mom, thank you very much. Dominic, co-host, thank you very much. Those are people that when it comes to accountability, I haven't had to hold them accountable. They support me,
mm-hmm.
right? And so when I look at trying to keep accountability for yourself and for others around you, you have to support yourself first.
Mm-hmm.
And if people see that you're busting your butt, you're trying for something, and you're about your mission, they're going to support you. And if they're not, then they're not. And that's not personal. They're just not about your mission like you are.
Yeah.
But again, just in terms of trying to get shit done, it's been a challenge, man. But I'm blessed. I'm just blessed to have so many people that have taken accountability and have helped me and have helped us get to where we are with this.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. And take advantage of that. You know, like you have these people that you just rattled off. I can see in your eyes how important they are to you.
Yeah.
How much less are you willing to let them down than you are to let yourself down?
I would rather let myself down.
Exactly. And that's why I think it's important to tell those people that you just named what you're going to do by next week.
Yeah, and they all know.
Right.
Yeah, and that's exactly. And that's the,
it's important to have that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sure. Because fluid. Yeah, you do have to keep yourself accountable and have that, but you're more willing to let yourself down than you are to let somebody important to you down, which is why I encourage everybody to share what they want to do, you know, with somebody that's absolutely important to them. Man.
Absolutely. Folks, we're going to wrap it up for today. One thing I want to just stress again, today's episode was awesome. And I think a lot of it is just Adam's newly found, and not that Adam, but going through a Tony Robbins experience like that is pretty inspirational. And so I really appreciate just the powerful words that you spoke. You shared just some very, very personal things that not a lot of people can share, let alone use it as a message to help inspire other people, to help motivate other people. And so, you know, I really appreciate you coming on. I'm hoping that, you know, some folks out there were helped by this message. And by some of the things that we discussed, you know, it's not easy to be happy all the time, but really
it is. The most important decision that you make every single day is to have a good attitude.
Yeah.
It is literally the most important decision every single day.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't want anyone, I know it's just two of us in a room right now speaking, but if you're watching this or listening, we encourage you to write in. Like, if you have a story or there's something that you want to share, get off of your plate. Just talk about. Like, this isn't like us talking at you. This is like open dialogue that we want to have interaction with you guys. So if there's something that you want to share or talk about, let us know. You know, we want to help in any way that we can. So we don't want this just to be like we're standing on a forum and talking at people.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And we're going to do more audience engagement. I know we've been saying we are. We've been obviously putting the horse before the cart, right? We got to get the website and stuff done. So again, thank you to everyone's patience. You will start to see more content from us. But more importantly than that, if you know anyone looking for a mentor, a coach, anything like that, let us know. You know, I think everyone needs someone that they can look up to. And I don't think there's enough people out there lending that ear or giving that helping hand to someone. And so if more of us could do that, that would be amazing. We want to be a platform to help facilitate that. Our workshops will be coming to a community near you. Again, we're looking to do our first one in October or November and hopefully have anywhere from 4 to 6 workshops between then and next June when we'll be doing our first festival. So again, thank you, everyone. We can't stress enough to you. Your support is amazing. One thing we always try and end the show with, and I think it's important to remember in the name of the company, in the name of what you do, is that it's very, very hard to follow your dreams if you don't put your passion first. Thank you guys for joining. We will see you in 2 weeks.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, thank you, Adam.
Thank you. Appreciate it, bro.